It's Ken Stubbs, too. Hello, Glenn and Suzanne.
Hi there.
Ken.
Bruce Tolkien just joining.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Glenn.
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Bruce, shall I run through the absences for you?
Yes, please. Yes.
Kiyoshi will be absent, and he's given his proxy to Lucy. But then
hello.
Mike.
Hello, Glenn. It's Mike here, Paige.
Hello, Mike.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you. Bruce, there might be a problem because Lucy says that she might be absent, too.
Okay.
And she hasn't given a... She gave a proxy to Kiyoshi.
Right.
So we'll have to sort that one out. I don't know what happens in that case.
Hello, Glenn. Ross here.
Hi, Ross. Tom Keller will be absent. He's given his proxy to Ross.
Patrick Sherry's here. Glenn, can you hear me?
Yes, Ken.
I'm not sure how long the meeting will last today. It doesn't look from the agenda like it will go a full 2 hours. But I'm going to have to leave at about an hour and 45 minutes into the conference. If it's still going on, then I'll give my proxy to Carrie.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Philip joining the call.
Hello, Philip.
Hello.
I'm hello. Mark Schneiders, hello.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Glenn.
Mark, thank you for the information on the GSM card. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank Adam Peak, who sent it to me.
Hello, Mr. Colbrook here. I don't know if you got me joining this.
Kurt Pritch is on the line.
Thank
you. John Jeffries on the line.
Glenn, Tom is with
you.
I'm not sure
Patrick
if you got after I did.
Thank you, Patrick.
Nicholas Lagergren.
Hello, Nicholas. Have you perhaps the proxy for Lucy in case she's not on?
No, I don't have that.
Okay.
But I don't have access to my email account, so actually I'm not sure. Yeah. By the way, can you just remind me of how I put this on mute? I'm in some kind of phone book.
Number six.
Megan.
Six.
Number six, thank you.
Joining the call.
This is Lucy.
Welcome, Lucy. You have the proxy for Kiyoshi.
I do.
Tony Holmes, join in.
Glenn, can you just confirm that the minutes of the last meeting, did you post an update or something, did you? Or was it only been published a couple of days ago?
No, I posted an update. And it was a very small update in the minutes. With regard to the participation on who is task forces.
Right, okay.
Those minutes were published before, at least a week before.
Okay. Hi, Thomas.
Paul Phillip here.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi,
By the way, Christopher is here. I think I was the first one to come in, so there was nobody to announce myself to.
Welcome, Christopher.
Have we reached the quorum yet, Glenn, do you know?
I think we have Bruce. We all have, we're missing Grant Forsyth, Tony Harris, and Greg Lewis. We have got...
Glenn, did I hear Philip?
Yeah, Philip's here.
Thanks.
We have got 12 council members, Bruce.
Okay. I'd just like to start with... clarifying the agenda of the meeting. There's been discussion on the list regarding WIPO 2. There's nothing much to report on item 4 at this stage, so I suggest that we put in the WIPO 2 discussion between item 3 and item 4 so that we can give that sufficient time for discussion. Was there anything else? Marilyn, do you have something under any other business you were requesting a report on staffing or something, was it? Or?
I had, and I think Paul Verhoef had responded with an email, but it's probably good to just have a verbal update just briefly on that topic.
Okay. I might. Paul can only be available for the first part of the call, so again, I might put that after the discussion on... WIPO 2, so I'll just put that after item 4, which is just an update on staff. I suspect there's probably not much more to add other than what Paul has reported, but at least it will open it for questions if anyone wants to ask Paul anything. Are there any other agenda items anyone wants to add? Okay. Moving on to the minutes of the last meeting... does anyone have any questions or comments on the minutes from the last meeting? Would someone like to move they be accepted?
So moved, Ken Stubbs.
Thanks, Ken.
I seconded, Mark Schneider.
Thank you, Mark. All those in favour of approving the minutes from the last meeting, please say aye.
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 Are there any against? Are there any abstentions?
Yeah, Nicholas Sargon here. I missed the meeting.
Okay.
Am I there as well?
Okay. What I might do now, just before going on to the next item, is just do a roll call to see to confirm who is on the call from the council. So just checking Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Marilyn Cain.
Yes.
Grant Forsyth.
Hi, Grant joining.
Okay, thank you, Grant. Ken Stubbs.
Yeah.
Kerry Cart. Philip Colebrook.
Yes.
Was Kerry on the call earlier? I thought I...
He was, yes.
Oh, he is still on the call.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kerry. Tony Harris. Okay, Tony Holmes.
Yes.
Greg Ruth. Do you hold any proxies, Tony Holmes?
Not at the moment. I'll let you know if that comes through.
Okay. Jessica Wu.
She's absent and her proxy goes to Mark.
Okay. Carlos Alfonso.
Is absent and his proxy goes to Mark Schneider's too.
Okay. Mark Schneider's.
He's present.
Great, thanks, Mark. Ross Rader.
Definitely here.
Tom Keller.
Absolutely.
Greg Ruth joining.
Who was that just joining?
Greg Ruth.
Great, thanks, Greg.
Tom Keller's absent and his proxy goes to Ross.
Okay, I'm here. Nicholas Lagergren.
I'm here.
Kyoshi.
Kyoshi's absent and his proxy goes to Lucy.
Okay, Lucy Nichols.
I'm here.
Hey, Lucy. Amadeo?
I'm here, and I have a couple of proxies, I think.
Okay. Check those. Demi Getchko?
Demi is absent, and his proxy goes to Amadeo.
Okay. And Alec Wilson?
Absent, with a proxy to Amadeo.
Okay.
With a directed vote.
Okay. Okay, at this point, the next item on the agenda is to deal with the election of the GNSO Council Chair. As I'm a candidate in that election, I'd like to step down, and if I could hand the chair to Philip Shepherd.
Sure, I accept the chair.
Thank you, Philip.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Just before we move to the election, Glenn, I'd just like you to confirm, please, the candidates nominated and nominated and seconded by whom.
Bruce Duncan was nominated as the only candidate by Marilyn Page, and he was seconded by Ross Schrader and Vinny.
Tony Harris joining.
I think I've got the second flag, have I?
That sounds right to me from memory.
Yes,
you're correct, Glenn.
Okay, Tony, you're well, we note you're just on a call. We're just on item two and the election of GNSO Council Chair. Now, just before we go to the vote, I think I'd like to make a point of clarification. There had been a question raised as to whether or not the GNSO Council Chair can have a renewed term of office. And the question relates, in fact, to the old rules of procedure of the Names Council. Now, I believe that it's correct to say that, in fact, the old rules of procedure of the Names Council are no longer applying under the new ICANN bylaws or to the GNSO Council. But I'd just like to take an affirmative vote first to say that everybody, to confirm that everybody's happy that we're going to be taking this vote solely under the grounds of the current ICANN bylaws. Does everybody understand the nature of this vote, and are they prepared to vote?
This is a motion that you're putting forward, and you need a second for it, yes?
Correct.
I'm happy to second it.
Thank you.
I'll ratify that, too.
Thank you, Ken. Is there any further discussion needed? Okay, then I'll repeat the motion. So, for clarification, we are taking this vote solely under the grounds of the current current ICANN bylaws as they apply to the GNSO Council. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Those abstaining, please say abstain. Okay, I heard that as a unanimous vote. Thank you very much for that.
Bruce, I'm sorry. I have a question for you, Philip.
Yes?
This is a voice vote, so I'm assuming that we have quorum and we don't need to clarify that.
We already did a head count and quorum was verified earlier. That was okay for that voice vote. I'll be moving, though, to a nominated vote for the actual election. And I'd like to move to that vote now. We have one candidate, Sir Bruce Tonkin. Under our rules, we need to take a vote, a roll call vote, and I'll be doing that. So the vote is yes, if you approve of Bruce Tonkin be re-elected as council chair, or no, or abstain. And I'll start the vote with Marilyn Cade.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Grant Forsyth.
Yes.
Thank you. Nicholas Lagerden.
Yes.
Thank you. Lucy Nichols?
Yes.
And your proxy for Kiyoshi?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Mark Schneiders?
Yes.
And your proxy for Jusuk Wu?
Yes. And for Carlos Afonso also, yes.
Thank you very much. Tony Harris?
Yes.
Thank you. Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Thank you. Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Thank you. Ross Rader?
Both myself and Thomas vote yes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bruce Tonkin, I guess, is not voting.
I'll abstain.
Thank you. Ken Stutz.
Yes.
Thank you. Carrie Carr.
Yes.
Thank you. Philip Colebrook?
Yes.
Thank you. Amadeo, your vote? Amadeo Abril, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes, and also the proxies for Demi and Alec are yes.
Thank you very much. I'll call that as a unanimous vote with one, not unanimous vote, almost unanimous vote with one abstention from the candidate himself. And I would declare, therefore, that Bruce Tonkin is re-elected as council chair for a 12-month term.
Philip, would you like to vote yourself?
I beg your pardon. Yes, I must vote myself, and my vote is yes. Thank you for reminding me. We now declare that is indeed an election approval for Bruce Tonkin as UNISO council chair for a 12-month term. Bruce, congratulations, and I hand the chair back to you.
Thank you, Philip. And thank you all for your support and confidence. The next item then I'd like to go to then is the WIPO 2. Lucy, do you want to just raise the question that you placed on the list?
Yes. And I first want to say I think we all have a very sympathetic view towards the workload that the staff has. And we understand that it's difficult. They've had a lot to deal with recently. I think, though, that from our responsibilities from, you know, as council members, and in order to fulfill our job as council members representing constituencies, we really need to keep on top of those issues, these type of issues. So our concern is that we be kept in the loop as far as what the substance of the recommendation will be before it's actually made to the board. I know my constituency, many of the members are concerned or were concerned that a recommendation would be made to the board. The board would make a decision in Cape Town, and we would hear about the decision as well as the recommendation at the same time and well after the fact. So I think that today I think it would be wise to at least discuss amongst the council members as to whether we're in agreement that we do need to know the substance of the recommendation before it's made.
Bruce, I'd like to be in queue.
Yes, anyone else like to join the queue? Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
I'll just lend my support to Lucy's recommendation from the business user perspective. We did follow very closely the work of the committee, and I have stated my own view as an elected rep that the outcome of the report shows there's no consensus, and we believe we should be updated and have a good understanding of where we are as a community. And so, you know, I'm hoping that we'll have a chance to see the WIPO document that Paul Hoof referenced as well.
Okay, anyone else want to speak to this item?
Yeah, Bruce, Paul here.
Yep, go ahead, Paul.
Not sure whether John Jeffrey is on the call, but in case he's not, I can probably respond. As they said in my email, we have received 2 days ago a response from WIPO to a request from us to take position on the report in order to see if there are any elements they could add to the discussion in the report which would help us craft a recommendation on how to go forward. We have been in touch. John and I have visited WIPO when John was in Europe, and we discussed it with them, and we have kept them under pressure to deliver this in time. As I said, we got this 2 days ago. Neither John nor I have had time to look into this, and I hope to get to it either late tonight or somewhere tomorrow, and then I need to talk to John about it. My assumption would be that as soon as we have discussed, we will release the document and post it on the web. I'm saying this without having talked to John about it, knowing whether there would be any problems with it, but my assumption is that there are not. And then we will try to get, indeed, as promised, a recommendation going. My assumption is that indeed we will consult on any ideas we have, and we will inform the GNSO as to what we have in mind of doing, and certainly we will keep in touch with the chair, and if need be, the council on how this is moving forward. At the moment, as you'll understand, I just cannot take any position on it. I don't know what exactly WIPO has told us on this particular topic. Let me add as a last item that I'm sorry that we cannot move on this at this point in time. I understand that it would have been opportune to have a more substantive discussion on it, but given workload and other things, this has just been possible at this point.
May I add something, Bruce?
Yeah, go ahead, Lacey.
So is your plan to postpone making a recommendation? As I understand it, the board had asked for a recommendation prior to the Cape Town meeting so that they could reach a decision at the Cape Town meeting.
Well, my thing would be, well, first of all, I cannot exactly tell you. I don't have an idea yet as to what type of recommendation we would be able to get, whether it would be a more procedural one or a more substantive one or both. So I cannot answer that. What I would think is that if John and I would come to the conclusion that there would be problems with this and we would have difficulty in crafting a clear recommendation and there would be a need for discussion with the GNSO Council in particular, maybe with others, with the constituencies on this, then obviously we would move to do that. So I think given the sensitivity of the topic and the complexity of the topic, my sense is that it is more important that we do something right than that we do something fast. On the other hand, you know, there are promises being made about delivering in time, so we are trying to balance that, but obviously if the substance requires it, then we will need to have a longer discussion.
Yes, and may I add just one other comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Lucy.
At least the IP constituency was unaware that WIPO was going to actually have an opportunity to comment on the working group report. We're not taking any position as whether we think that's appropriate or not, but since they have had the opportunity to do so, I think it's important that we see what their comments are, so that we can also make comments on any additions or suggestions that they're making.
Lucy, I fully understand that, and you know, I will certainly. Let me see. From my perspective, we will post it. I just need to check with John whether there are any legal problems with it. My assumption is that there are not.
Paul, this is John. I'm on the call, and we will post it later today. And we're
okay, good.
Creating a page that has a joint working group proposal on it as well.
Okay. Well, there is the answer. You see, John and I talk if only through these calls. So we hope to be able to move forward on this somewhere over the next days.
But I do concur with Paul's views on how we would look at it, and we certainly take the GNSO's very seriously.
Bruce, I have a question for our ICANN staff.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
And it may actually be for Suzanne, now that I think about it. Is this topic on the, do we know if this topic is on the GAC agenda?
If I may?
Yeah, go
ahead. It may well come up during the GAC Working Group 1, which is our GNSO working group, because some of the members have expressed an interest in the issue. So I'm more than happy to share with them what we have just learned today. But other than that, I don't believe it's not a subject for detailed discussion.
Suzanne, this is Christopher. It is actually on one of the topics that might be raised in the joint meeting between ICANN and GAC, but as a general matter, GAC decided not to take any further action on this until ICANN made a recommendation.
Exactly. That was my understanding. It's not a subject for detailed discussion by the GAC, but it certainly has been identified as an issue on which we would, we're expecting a briefing by ICANN.
Carrie to speak, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
I'm just a bit curious what kind of impact this is likely to have or might have on the contracted parties, the registrars and the registries, and how detailed a formal process might this result in.
So I guess it would be until the report's posted, Carrie? Sorry, it's Marilyn. Would it perhaps be premature to, you know, that would be one of the things that would be necessary to assess?
Yeah, I think if I can just summarize what I think the feeling of council is, and that is that I think the council is unhappy with a recommendation going to the board without the opportunity for the council to comment, particularly given that there wasn't actually a consensus from the council on this issue, and it is an issue related to GTLD. So I think generally I think it's good that ICANN will be posting the WIPO comments today, but I think the council is particularly interested to know what the recommendation is from the ICANN staff or president well before the board meeting, if that's possible.
Yes, Chris, it's Carolyn, though. I need to just clarify something. It's actually, there was no consensus from the council. The council actually did have consensus. But the consensus that we're all referring to was actually the special working group that was set up, which did not reach consensus.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Carolyn.
Bruce, this is Christopher again on a specific procedural point. I'm well aware the working group did not reach consensus. I'm not aware of the council having any position at all.
You know, I think we should go back and look. We had discussions, and if we did not express our opinion formally, I would be surprised by that, Christopher. It's certainly possible for us to go back and look to see if we actually took a formal vote.
Just a thought. I think at this stage it's just not a good idea for the council to take a position on a matter which is a subject of international law. No further comment. Bruce?
You go ahead. Was that Paul Verhoef?
No, this wasn't.
No, I think that was Christopher signing off and handing back to you, Bruce.
Okay, there's probably not much more we can discuss on this point other than just encouraging the ICANN to give as much notice as possible of any recommendation in this area. The next item four, is dealing with the initial reports on the procedure for use by ICANN in considering requests that require consent or contractual amendments to GTLD agreements. I wonder whether Kurt or John Jeffrey can give an update on where that document is. It is currently with the staff for some comments, I think.
Yes, this is Kurt. We've undertaken some intensive review of the document that have included, Paul Verhoef, Barbara, Paul Toomey, and Tina Dam, Dan Halloran. Our concerns, we think the document, essentially represents very good work, and we have very few concerns with it. Those concerns hover around our ability to provide excellent service to our clients, and excellent service means turnaround of registry requests. So what we did is we compared the flowchart in the PDP with PDP document with 18 or 20 case studies of requests for registry services over requests by registries for changes over the past year. And the vast, vast majority of them fall into a very simple or straightforward category, so that while the flowcharts in the document are complete and accurate, Most of the requests that we received do not require all the time or steps required that are called out in the flowchart. So what we're fashioning is a recommendation for a document to sort of, you know, I've termed it hang on the front of that indicates, you know, that goes through the process we went through in the case studies and then indicates that, well, while some processes will take a long time, many processes can take a shorter time based on certain, you know, on a case-by-case basis and the requirements of that requested change. So that document and flowchart we're developing should be ready. We've gone through some reviews here. It should be ready next week for delivery to the GNSO.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Are there any questions for Kurt on that?
Philip, just for the question.
Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
Kurt, what are you just for the time, or were you being very politically correct when you used the word client just now? And I wonder if you intentionally meant by that you believe GTLD registries are your clients, and I wonder if that is the case for else you regard your clients to be, or maybe it was a slip of the tongue and another description would be more appropriate.
I suppose another description would be more appropriate. It's sort of the way I'm wired in my background, so I'm based in a position. I look around and identify my customers, and in certain cases, the GTLD registries are my customers, and in certain cases, I'm their customers. And so I kind of look at relationships that way. So certainly it doesn't, you know, that identification doesn't obviate the need for a full or careful review of any proposed changes or proposed services. And we would match the steps called out in the GNSO's work. It's just that we want to accomplish those steps in a fashion that is predictable, transparent, and all the things that this PDP is trying to be.
Thank you for the clarification.
Are there any other questions for Kurt on this?
It's Marilyn, and I have a follow-on comment.
Yep, go ahead, Marilyn.
So I just want to be sure that I understand somewhat the process and the timing, because I think broadly those of us who represent the user community feel that we are heavily affected by changes of this nature, just as the suppliers are. What's the timing in which we might expect to see something as a draft in terms of the proposed edits that we would be able to take a look at?
Bruce has communicated to me that he would like to see the proposed changes or suggestions prior to Cape Town. So
uh-huh.
That could be part of the discussions there, and I've
right.
I've communicated that back to Paul Toomey and Paul Verhoeven, so we're all working toward that.
That's good, because some of us will not have all of our elected representatives there and would want to be able to include them in the discussion.
I understand, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. The next topic is just an update, I guess, on the process for appointing staff. Paul Verhoeven gave a bit of a summary to the council list. Perhaps you could just summarise that again for the purposes of the call, Paul, and we'll just see if there's any questions on that.
Yes, I can. I don't have anything here in front of me, standing here somewhere in the call outside in Zurich. But in terms of the recruitment, we are at the moment moving forward with two shortlists of about 10 people for the two GNSO-related positions. There is a first set of interviews being conducted with those candidates to get some more sense and detail as to their candidacies. The current time schedule is that for one of the candidates, for one of the roles, we hope to be able to reduce this to a short list of four or five people over the next days and subsequently have interviews with those people next week. For the other role, it will probably not, we will probably not be able to do it before Cape Town. It'll probably have to be done after that. The interview panels will then give recommendations on the candidates, and the ICANN staff will make a choice. Subsequently, there will be contract negotiations with the successful candidates, and depending on their availability and their current employment, we hope to have them on the staff during the first months of next year.
Thank you. Paul, are there any questions for Paul on that process? Okay, thanks, Paul. Moving to item 5 on the agenda, which is the review of the GNSO Council by an external reviewer. We have Patrick Shari on the call, who has been appointed by ICANN to carry out the review of the GNSO Council. Perhaps, Patrick, if you'd like to just summarise who you are and your background and where and how the process is working.
Bruce, Paul here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Paul, sorry.
If you don't mind, I have to sign off here. I think the colleagues are well capable of handling the rest, and I will see you all then in Cape Town.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Okay.
Patrick, are you on the...
Yes, I'm here, Bruce.
Would you like to give an update on the review process?
Indeed. A bit of background on me. First, I run a consulting business called PS2 because I'm Patrick Sherry, my partner is Peter Stone. We work with teams of people, helping them work effectively together. It's with executive-level teams, and it's often around strategic issues and that sort of thing. My background is originally as a teacher. I have a master's in education. I have a master's in decision sciences from London School of Economics, and I've been working in my own consulting for 10 years. I've worked with ICANN over the last 12 to 18 months, and most of that has been around helping Paul get his team in place, but it's also been around other related management issues, in particular around processes and that sort of thing. I've talked to Bruce and to Paul to write on a process for this review. It would be consistent with the terms of reference. Between us, we've come up with an interview list that has about 20 people on it, and I'm more or less halfway through those interviews. And expect to complete the rest of them within the next 48 hours or so. I had a good session on the phone with Glenn last night going through the data that she's done an excellent job preparing, and I'll work on that in more detail over the next couple of days with a view to bringing the data and from Glenn and the interview data together for a draft report at the middle of next week.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Has anyone got any questions for Patrick on the process?
I'm sorry, would you just, the date by which we would expect this?
Is that, I'm not sure,
when we might expect the, I'm not sure I captured that.
Just when the report would be finished and available, Patrick.
Yep, is that Marilyn?
That was Marilyn Cade, yes.
It would be, I think, the middle of next week. The reason for my hesitation is that as I talk to people, I'm finding that they're suggesting that there are one or two other people that I should talk to. And so the interview list is growing a little bit. I'm trying to manage that as best I can. And I'm, as I said, I'm hoping that this would be probably Wednesday next week. You would have a draft,
yeah.
Or at least that I'd have it.
But the reason I was asking was many people will be traveling, and so if it is possible to have the draft or people start traveling, that would be very good.
And so Wednesday would be suitable in that regard?
Yeah, I think so, don't you think, Bruce?
Yeah, I think that's right, yes.
That's fine.
Okay, any other questions for Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you, Patrick, for attending the call, giving that update. Item 6 on the agenda is the ICANN strategic plan. It was released, I guess, about 2 days ago. It's a large document, it's about 75 pages, so I'm not sure whether people have digested it. I certainly haven't read it all. But I'll leave this item open. If anybody wants to make a comment or has read it and wants to raise anything. I think this is probably one of the things we should look at as a council in Cape Town is have a discussion about the ICANN strategic plan and decide whether the council wants to put in some input from our perspective on what should be in the plan.
Just to make a comment, if I may?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. I think I'll agree with that absolutely. I had a brief look at the plan the other day, and I think what added value council could perhaps place there is to give our view in terms of the ranking order, if you like, of the priorities that ICANN has identified within the plan. I think that may be useful work for council to do.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Item 7 is an update on WHO IS. I guess the key issue here is do the WHO IS task forces believe that they have or are likely to have some concrete recommendations put before the community for discussion in Cape Town? Is there anyone from the combined WHO IS task force 1 and 2 that can give me a bit of a summary of that?
We don't have any of the chairs on? For
I don't believe so, Marilyn. No.
Okay, I guess I'll do what I can then. I can speak to the combined task force generally. Our goal is certainly to try to have a draft for the council to look at, and I think I sort of said this on our last call. We're very much in the developmental stage on our third topic, which is the feasibility of tiered access. And so we're in the exploration stage on that. So we definitely would not have any kind of a recommendation. We are working on identifying experts and agreeing on the categories of experts and then possible names for experts to seek advice from. We are thinking that we might be able to, include comments in our open session, but we want those to be guided comments as opposed to opinions. So we're working on whether we could develop 3 or 4 questions to ask people when they provide comments to us if they could also address those questions. That. I think we're going to try to have draft recommendations on the other two areas, but we're waiting for a document from Jeff had taken on drafting role, and we're expecting that document to mail this week to discuss further next week. We are going to have another working call on Tuesday, and then we will have a face-to-face in Cape Town.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. So, one of the things I wanted to do as an outcome of this call is start scheduling the topics for the public session before we have the actual council meeting. So we've scheduled, I think it might be an hour, maybe 2 hours on Friday morning to get input from the community on any of the issues that are before the council. So it sounds like we can schedule a session at least on the output of Task Force 1 and 2 with some draft recommendations in 2 areas and perhaps some questions or requests for the community to provide input on your third area on ticket access. Is
yeah.
That correct?
Right. And Glenn is on, but Glenn, that's kind of my takeaway from our last meeting. Does that sound consistent with your understanding?
Yes, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Task Force 3, perhaps Ross Spader, are you able to give an update on where that's up?
Hi, actually, if they're doing construction in my house, so I'm not sure that I can do it
or give you an update without being drowned out by a drill that's in the back room. Maybe Barbara could pick that up for me.
Sure.
Sorry, Barbara.
Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. That's fine. Basically, the task force has really not progressed much further than they were a couple of weeks ago around certain central issues. What they have proposed doing is having a meeting of task force members, or if constituencies don't have the individual task force member attending, they, you know, could perhaps get somebody else to substitute, but try to do some work in a face-to-face setting that that there's some hope that might be more productive than the phone calls have been. I'm not sure that actually is the root of the problem. That we have become very explicit about what the different challenges are, and they revolve around the various ways in which the IT constituency and certain other constituencies see the usefulness of data accuracy, and the registrar's application of a cost-benefit ratio for taking on additional burdens of verifying accuracy. And I think that this is really coming down to a question of who's going to bear the cost of, you know, further guaranteeing the accuracy of data, and for what purpose. So there is some room for discussion of that very explicit issue in the meeting in Cape Town, but I don't think this is really policy per se. It's, you know, there's no disagreement about what the actual issues are that are involved. It's a question of who's going to bear the cost to change the current status of things.
Barbara, it's Marilyn. I guess I have some other questions from having been both following and contributing to support Sarah Deutsch. Actually, I thought there has been some policy discussion, including around the that we're still working through in that task force, including around the period of time that a registrant would be given to correct the data. I do see those discussions and that as being policy, since that would be change.
Marilyn, if I may, I think you're right that there are certain policy discussions that still need to be resolved if a given direction is chosen. But I think the sticking point for the task force is the inability to pick a specific direction to go at this point. And so all of those other questions, while needing to be worked out, are to a certain extent secondary to the main question of whether there's going to be a change.
Thomas here. Could I get into the queue, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas.
I would maybe add one more point here. I happened to participate in the last call of the group as a substitute for Vittorio, and I believe it's worth pointing out that there's apparently also no consensus on whether any system that group could put in place would be optimized for increasing data quality on a large scale, or if it would be optimized for going after a small set of possible bad actors, if it is security or if it is really fraudulent registration. And this is a rather fundamental question for this task force to tackle. What I see here in terms of draft policy, in a way, is, at least from my point of view, looks like a policy that is designed to go after bad actors, but supposed to be applied on a large scale. That's a risky thing to do, and I would add this very fundamental question of where to go to the things the task force would have to sort out before it could achieve productive results.
Thomas, could you say a couple of more words on that? I think if that would be okay with everyone, because I think this is an important discussion to kind of have just a little more better understanding of.
Well, the basic point here is in the context of security discussions, we are always getting into discussions of sanctions that are tied to inaccurate records. Sanctions mean domain names are disappeared, domain names are put on hold, domain names are destabilized. So the question then becomes, what if a false positive is triggered? What if a sanction is triggered in a case where it shouldn't be? If you apply a system to very few cases where you can see, okay, these seem to be bad actors, then you can put in place relatively harsh sanctions. If you are applying a system on a large scale, like billions of domain names, then you have to be extremely careful about what kinds of sanctions you put into it, or else you're going to destabilize legitimate domain names on a large scale, which would be contrary to ICANN's mission and, I believe, to the interest of any user representative.
Yeah. I'd just like to make one other point because about the policy decisions that I think the group is discussing, which are really important, and that Thomas has just highlighted one of them. For instance, it would be possible to have much milder sanctions, that is, a more elongated period of time after notification that the data is an error and more time given to the registrant to correct it, and the sanction to be then making the name go dark but not deleting it for another period of time. So some of those things are things that the task force has in its current paper, but I think it's you know, there's still to be really thought through, perhaps in more detail.
Yeah, I suggest what we do is perhaps on Wednesday morning, the 1st of December, you know, maybe around 10 o'clock. I think the welcome ceremony has been shifted to another day, so that may be time we can use, but is perhaps to have a joint meeting between the Council and Task Force 3, so Task Force 3 can just get some broader input from the Council itself. So I think the topic would value some different perspectives and some additional input, and it seems to be stalled at the moment in Task Force 3. What do members of Council think of that as a suggestion?
I think that's a good idea, but can I ask that we start at 10:30? Some of us will have responsibilities in the WSIS event.
Yeah, I'm not quite clear on the timetable of the day, actually. Glenn, are you able to give us an update on what's happening on Wednesday, the 1st of December?
No, Bruce, because that, except for the WSIS in the morning, the rest you said that you would like to keep apart the room for work with GNSS task forces.
But I think what you were looking for was what's going on around us.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think there's going to be a workshop on deleted names in that afternoon, probably at 2 o'clock. Did someone say there was going to be a Who Is Task Force meeting at some stage during that day as well?
I think the Task Force 1 and 2 was hoping to meet at some point, but we hadn't actually firmed up our time.
Hmm.
Yes, there's
Rose, yeah, this is can I join the queue?
Yeah, go ahead.
John Jeffrey of Pritt still on the call?
Yeah, this is Kurt. I'm on the call.
All right. My understanding is that the opening ceremony has been moved from Wednesday morning to Thursday morning.
Yes.
That's true.
That's not yet on the
website. So you can understand the name of it's changed from welcoming ceremony to something else that escapes me right now.
So we would just have the WSIS workshop on the Wednesday morning.
Well, as I understand it, Christopher, there's the WSIS workshop from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, and then there is an orientation session scheduled, and then there in the afternoon, and I'm doing this from memory, but this was what I sort of remembered from my own effort to calendar, there's an African IDN workshop in the afternoon.
Right.
And then the parallel meetings, I think, of your group, the GAC and the CCs.
And I think there's also... planning to have a lunch with between the
GAC
and D working group.
That's right.
And so what time has that been scheduled?
Is Suzanne still on the call?
Yes, I am.
Do you recall what time, has there been a lunch scheduled, or do you know what time that would be?
I believe we had it scheduled to begin at 1 o'clock, so it would run from 1 to 2, but I think hopefully we could be a little bit flexible, but that is our opening plenary of the GAC.
Okay, so you're proposing to do that between 1 and 2 then, Susan?
Yes, if that also works for the GNSO schedule.
Yeah, well, I might just have a bit of discussion with Glenn and Kurt and just try and timetable this day a little bit, because I think we've got a room, have we, Glenn? It's just a matter of working out what happens in that room during the day.
Yes,
yep, okay. Do you know how big the room is?
It will probably be for about 35 people.
Okay.
Do you need a bigger one?
I'm just interested to know what the different sizes are, yeah. Do you know how big the rooms are for the registrars for that day?
Yes, it can take 50 in a horseshoe and up to 80-90 in classroom.
Okay, so that's on the Wednesday, yeah, because I think it's also trying to work out what's the best room to use for the workshop on deleted names. And I think Marilyn had asked the question about how many people that room could accommodate, so not. I don't think we've actually finalised what room we're going to use for that either.
I think that probably that room will be the best, because it's also the room where the registries and registrars will meet, because the registries, their room is much smaller.
Right. Okay. So we'd use the registrar constituency
room.
Okay, which is about 50. Accommodate about 50.
But we can change the horseshoe and accommodate more.
Okay, and then the room that's got 35, that'll be enough for who is task force meetings. And so we've got that through the day.
Yes.
So I guess it's probably a meeting either earlier in the day. I think it sounds like we've got two different who is meetings. We've got a who is meeting, which is who is task force 1 and 2, and then a who is meeting on task force 3, which I'd like to get the council as a whole to as well. Maybe we just look at perhaps having one around, I don't know, 10:30 to 12:30 or something, and another meeting around, you know, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. something of that nature.
I think that would probably work. I do think it would be very helpful, actually, for council and each of the task forces to have the chance to have a kind of a working session. So 10:30 to 12. And then 4 to 6 is what you were proposing?
Yeah, I was just thinking, yes, I'm either side of the other workshop.
Bruce?
Yes?
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. Put me in the queue if we're going to be talking at all a little bit more about the who is task force meeting or the session on in Headcount.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important for us to, again, take a very clear read on Barbara's observations, because I think she's been a little bit more dispassionate about it. And I think we need to realize, in the case of Task Force 3, that we can spend a significant amount of time on policy, but until we get some of the other more, some of the more serious issues that are, it's kind of like the elephant in the room, out of the way, we're not going to be, as an independent observer, I think we've got a real problem. It's kind of like deciding what color the stoplight should be when you don't have any electricity. So I think it's extremely important, and I would suggest that before we have that meeting on Task Force 3 in Cape Town, it might be a good idea for Barbara to prepare maybe a somewhat dispassionate perspective in terms of her observations of where she sees issues, and maybe even help acting as a mediator to help prioritize and move it forward. Because if all we're going to do is talk about policy, I've seen a lot of this. I know we've discussed an awful lot of timing and notice periods and stuff like that, but we're just not going anywhere because we have people on different sides, and one group talks policy and the other group talking implementation, and they're not really getting much accomplished. So I hope you'd at least consider that. Otherwise, 30 days from the meeting in Cape Town, we're going to be in exactly the same place. That's just my observation.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah, I think that would actually be useful, Barbara, if you could, particularly in Task Force 3, kind of list what you think the some of the fundamental issues are, because I suspect sometimes it gets bogged down in some implementation details, and I guess you've got to be agreeing on what the objective is first.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I think that, as I say, this last meeting that we had yesterday was very frank and honest in that regard, and so I think that all the participants have a pretty clear understanding of what the issues are that are under discussion. So I'd be happy to sort of put that in writing and put it around to the task force for some comment and then forward it to council.
Okay. Well, I'll send a note out to council once I've just confirmed the times, and I'll work with Glenn and Kurt on the times for the whole day, really, so that we've got a bit of a schedule for the council for the events on that Wednesday.
Bruce, when you do that, would you sort of take the temperature of whether the combined task force needs more than an hour? Because
I'm not sure on that. Yeah.
Because we're going to have a very full day if we extend it 4 to 6, and I don't know if there is a reception planned on any of the evenings.
It can be 4 to 5. It's fine by me as well.
Bruce, may I say something? It's Glenn.
Yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
The reception is on Thursday evening.
Thank you.
And there will be a system where there will be buses taking you to the venue sort of every 10 minutes. So it's not as though you have to catch a bus apparently at a specific time.
Okay. So as I see the planning for Cape Town at the moment, we will have a couple of workshops on the Wednesday. We may need to, depending on what the outcome of the registry procedures are too, might have to find some time to talk through that too. On the Friday morning, we'll focus on perhaps an open forum on the status, I guess, of that report on the procedure. For the registry agreement, and also on the two draft recommendations from Task Force 1 and 2, as well as opening some time for questions there on the third topic. So that's kind of roughly where I see the planning at this stage. Are there any other planning issues or questions people have?
Were we going to try to have a sort of a strategy discussion with council?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, the only time that's free to do that is probably on the afternoon of the Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. I think it would be good if we could do that. Let's leave the topic aside and focus on our role as managers and leaders and process and, you know, kind of think a little bit about strategically about what we have ahead of us, not just in terms of the work, but... It would be very helpful to do that, even if not everyone can be there.
Yeah, I think the focus of that should probably start with the strategic plan and that ICANN has, and then consider what the GNSO should do in the next 2 or 3 years that relates to that, and how we should do it. And I guess it would also be the time to just discuss the outcome of Patrick's review as well.
Yeah.
So I might set up... I'll try and do a bit of an agenda for a meeting. Glenn, do we have a room on the Tuesday afternoon?
Yes, we have a room on the Tuesday afternoon, Bruce.
So what time do you have the room for?
I think it's probably from 2 o'clock.
And Glenn, can we ask about the setup? Because in our last meeting, we had a real challenge just because we didn't have a room that was properly set up, and can we make sure that it's set up with tables and, you know, in sort of a, if that's possible, or are we going to just sort of be sitting in and, it just would be good, we shouldn't be in classroom style where we can't interact with each other.
Yeah, I'd prefer like a round table type.
I prefer a round table, fine. A round table for...
Or a U-table or something, but yeah, I agree, okay. not just a bunch of chairs in the room, yeah.
All right, I'll do that in either a round or U-shape.
Yep.
It's probably going to need to be you, given the number.
Yes, I think that's what I was thinking too, Valen.
Rose, this is Christopher. My battery is crashing, and I'm going to drop out. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Christopher.
Constructive and useful call. Thank you.
Bruce, this is Ken Stutz. I assume, Glenn, that you're going to put together some sort of final calendar to help make sure that we're all in the right room at the right time, right?
Absolutely, Ken. When I have more or less an idea of what we're going to do, and when I can get the room name or number or something like that. But it will be done, don't worry.
It's kind of like herding cats.
It's a bit, yeah. Okay. Well, at this stage, we're probably talking, I don't know, between 2 and 4 o'clock on the Tuesday.
2 and 4, okay, on Tuesday.
And I'll get an agenda out to council or a draft agenda anyway for the council to consider for that.
For that afternoon.
Yes. Okay, anything else, any other events that anyone wants to discuss for the Cape Town meeting?
Sorry, just one more point about the Wednesday meetings. How would you like the room set up?
I think U-shaped again.
U-shaped again, fine.
In pink color.
In pink, that's right.
Sorry.
The only problem is if you don't specify, you tend to get all sorts of strange configurations, so I can understand Glenn asked the questions. Okay, any other business?
We're ready to close then, are we?
I believe so, yes.
No, I don't think so. I had thought of something, but I think maybe we've already addressed it.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you, everybody, for attending, and I'll see you all in Cape Town.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Thank you. Bye-bye.